Ephesians chapter 2, we'll be reading verses 1 through 22, the whole chapter. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 22. Beloved, hear now the word of the Lord our God. And you are dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come He might show the surpassing riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. By grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Therefore remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers of the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in His flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in Himself He might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. And He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through Him we both have our access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. And thus far in God's Word. So, after praying in chapter 1, giving praise to the Lord and thanksgiving to Him for the church, Paul now gives to the Ephesians a picture of what divine grace looks like and what it has done in the children of God. What is described is applicable to that great change with that same grace that works in all those who are brought who are brought into a state of grace. And so the first description we have is the misery of unregenerate men and those who are in sin, that it enslaves all mankind. That is the state of any who do not believe in the gospel today. That all are sinners, verse 1, and you are dead because of your sins. And as it goes on, it's going to talk about what was true of Christians, but is no longer true of Christians. But it does show also what is true of those who are not Christians, those who are unregenerate, those who are in sin and still are dead. And so, if you're a believer in Christ, it says you were dead. Past tense. You did walk according to the course of this world and Satan and his demons. You did live in the lust of your flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and the mind. You were by nature children of wrath. And then it says the great words, but God. But God, if you are dead, can you make yourself alive? The answer is no. But God, rich in mercy, great in love, even when you were dead in sin, He made us alive. Who made us alive? It is God. He made us to be in union with Christ, and because of this union, we are raised up with Him. Excuse me. Our resurrection already guaranteed. Not only resurrected, but seated with Him on the throne. We, as it says in Timothy, we will reign with Him. In the ages to come, we will be shown the infinite riches of His grace and His mercy to us. That is why Jesus was sent. That's why He saved us. But how are we saved in Christ? How are we made alive? Is it by good works? Is it by something that we do? Is it our righteousness? Can we therefore earn salvation? Or even can we choose salvation? And the answer is no. Both of those questions. The answer is no. Because it says by grace. Unmerited favor. If it was merited favor, if it was by your good works, it would be called merited favor. But it's called unmerited favor. It's called grace that you have been saved. Through faith have you been saved. And so it is not your good works that save you. It is not your own choice that saves you. Because both of those, grace and faith, it says there in the Scriptures that they are gifts of God. They're gifts from God. And so you didn't conjure it up within yourself, this faith. And it is not, verse 9, it is not a result of works so that you would boast. No one can boast in themselves. If it were your faith originating in you that you were saved, then you could boast. If it were for your good works that you were saved, then you could boast in yourself. But that is not reality. You must boast only in God in Christ, as we heard in Galatians, who grants you these divine gifts of grace and faith. And we're saved unto something, it says. We were created in Christ Jesus for good works. So those good works can't save you. Because you have none. But you were created in Christ Jesus, made alive for good works that have been eternally planned for you to walk in them. And now because of this, all you believers are the same in these things. You're the same. The Gentiles were not part of God's people, generally speaking, but they were far off, as it says here, and they've been brought near. The great divide of Jew and Gentile has been torn down. Now all Christians are one, whether Jew or Gentile, in Christ Jesus. In Christ, the hostility between the two has been destroyed. There was a great hostility between Jew and Gentile. And still in the Ephesian church at this time, but that has been destroyed by Christ. There is now peace between the two. And now as one body, we are being built up by the Word of God, being perfected, and we are, it says here, we are the dwelling place of God Himself through His Spirit. God is with you. He's in you. He's in your heart. And so now you are to be comforted and delight in the God who has made you alive. You're no longer dead, but made alive by God in Christ. And so then consider the great privileges, as we heard in the last chapter at the beginning, even those described here. Those great privileges which you have been invested in you and prepared for you for good works, even to be raised up and reign with Christ. And so some here more of some more benefits of Christ's mediation. Let's pray. Our Father, what great privileges we have and blessings being in Christ. We thank You that You are a God who cares for us, watches over us, But even if we go back, in our lives, we thank You that You're a God who, when we were dead, You made us alive. We were dead, rotting corpses. But You made us alive. You gave us righteousness. You clothed us with different robes, no longer of sin and guilt, but of righteousness and good works. Father, we praise You that You're a gracious God. A God who gives us grace, who shows and showers us with grace, like an ocean being poured out upon us. But even greater than that. And You give us faith. You put Your Spirit within us as we've heard the Word. And You change our wills and give us faith to believe. And so that no one would boast in themselves. None here can boast in themselves. But we are Your workmanship. We are Your creatures, made alive and created in Christ Jesus for good works, which You are building us up into a holy temple, which Christ is the cornerstone, and we stand upon Him and upon the word of the apostles and prophets, which is Your word. And it is, as we'll hear this evening, only upon that by which we can stand in this life and in the life to come. And so, Father, we ask that You would be glorified in these things, even in Your saving of sinners, ridding us of the lusts of the flesh and the desires of the mind and body, and even the soul. Thank You that You've given us new hearts and made us alive. This alone is reason to praise Your name forever. And so we praise Your name now. We do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.